Perhaps we should move on from this region, in case there are more of these inhuman fiends concealed among the trees.
Sounds good, Doc. We'll cut back to the river and keep moving and heading west.
End up at the Sipik. Might hear news there of your compadre.
Harv looked up at the darkening sky.
Not far off for a chemstorm. Gotta get back and pick up the carcass of old Ball's pig. Wish you all the best.
Same to you three. Maybe see you down the way.
JB led the five friends toward the west, cutting through the fringe of the trees, aiming for the slow-flowing river. Harv and his cousins went back east, toward where they'd left the hack remnants of a wild boar. They'd been moving only about 15 minutes when Christy held up a hand.
Listen.
They all stood still, listening, straining for the noise above the swelling river on their right-hand side.
It's a loon, I think.
Jack's right hand was on the butt of his gun. His head turned to look behind them, in the direction taken by the three hunters. His eyes seemed to glow with a buried fire in the shadows of the trees.
Not a bite.
No, reckon you're right, Jack. Not birds. It sounds more like...
There's smoke!
Mildred pointed back to a patch of smudged gray above the topmost peaks of the forest.
Bad news. We gonna take a look?
I guess so. Got a bad gut feeling about what we'll find.
It was over by the time they worked their way back and tracked down the source of the fire. The small clearing was only a couple of hundred yards to the east of where they had eaten the haunch of boar. The ragged bones of the animal lay stripped in the center of a pile of glowing white ash, the wind brightening an occasional ruby ember. The bodies of Harv, Gus, and Jake were torn among the silent trees. JB held up his hand, and everyone stopped, looking at the grim scene.
I think they've all gone.
One of them has remained behind.
Doc pointed at the corpse of a Sticky that was hunched over by a frost-shattered boulder, a dark powder burn in its chest, showing where it had been shot at close quarters by one of the hunters.
This mutie's got a neck collar on. Another one of them escaped slaves?
JB walked over and looked down at the trio of corpses.
Sure took him quick. Must have been a lot of Stickies to do this so fast.
The bodies had been stripped, and their muskets taken. Strips and patches of skin had been torn away from living flesh by the voracious suckers. Eyes sucked from sockets. Faces reduced to weeping masks of raw meat and white bones. All three had been emasculated, but not neatly with keen flensing knives. The genitals had been brutally ripped and torn from their bodies, the thighs and groins showing the marks of the toothed suckers.
Oh, sick, sick bastards.
It's all they know. They didn't ask to be nuke-altered mutations. Blame the warmongers and whitecoats back in the 1980s and 90s. It's their long dead hands that marked what happened here.
Guess so. We gonna stay and bury them?
No, Christy. Tracks show as many as 20 Stickies in the gang. Must still be within a quarter mile or so of us. We leave now and carry on west. Fast and quiet. What's happened here is over.
As they left the clearing, they were watched from the undergrowth by a host of bloodshot, watery eyes. The storm forced them to seek shelter. It was a brutal chem tempest, whirling in with roiling clouds that changed shape every second, filled with the stench of ozone and leaking the purple lace of lightning.
I am stricken like Lear himself. Can we not seek a place for us? Somewhere, a place for us?
It was JB leading the way, who spotted the squat shape of the ruined building, standing alone at the edge of a deserted highway. The flank of the sidewall was toward them, the stucco peeling and weathered. The lettering still showed through, in an ornate Gothic script. Faust's R&R Metal Heaven. They huddled together, peering at it through the driving rain.
What in the name of all perdition can that have been?
Heavy metal rock and roll. Past your bedtime music, Doc.
But does the store still have a roof to it?
Yeah, it looks like.
Then that is most certainly the place for me.
Doc led the way at an ungainly gallop, his long legs angling out like a demented stork, waving his sword stick as if he were attacking the cannon at Chickamauga. The rest followed through the deep puddles scattered over what had presumably once been the parking lot for the store. It was now a blank expanse of weed-strewn tarmac, cracked and rippled by earth movements across the years. A steel-framed door led into a single-stripped concrete box of a room, some 20 feet square. The store's main window had probably caved in at skydark, but it had been skillfully boarded up and kept out the worst of the storm.
Looks like someone's been living rough here.
Mildred pointed to a charred section of wall in the corner, where a pile of half-burned wood lay. A stained mattress was on the floor next to it, along with a few rusted self-heat cans and some empty bottles of cheap red gut-rot wine.
Let's get that fire going again. Take off our coats, get dried off.
The travelers stripped off layers as JB knelt, pulling a self-light from one of his pockets.
Might as well stay the night here. Storm's in for hours.
How about our sticky brethren? Might they not come a-calling?
Stickies hate rain. They won't be out in it. Find some place and hold up.
A place like this, do you mean? My snow-capped young companion?
Don't worry, Doc. Door has a strong bolt. Side windows are too small. Could hold off an army from here. That true, JB?
True. Walls and roof are solid, Doc. Take more than a few muties to give us worries. Good, solid little fortress for us.
Well, I trust implicitly your judgment in matters of military logistics, my dear John Barrymore.
Doc sat by the fire and made himself comfortable.
Oh, wish we'd taken a few slices of that pig. Going to be a long, hungry stay.
The rain was still falling when Christy jerked awake sometime after midnight. Not knowing what had awakened her, she lay still, her eyes open in the blackness, every sense straining. But she could see and hear nothing in the empty store.
Ryan?
Somehow, she felt his presence. JB was on her left. Doc was across the room, alongside the crumbling ashes of the fire. Christy closed her eyes, overwhelmed by a sense of loss. An emptiness filled her heart, the desolation of knowing that from now on, she would walk alone through life. And yet, the featherlight flickering of the Gaia power taught to her by Mother Sonia was whispering at the very back of her mind.
Ryan.
The Sodbuster's small, filthy shack was around 15 miles away from where Christy lay wakeful. Rain pounded against its mud-slick walls, streaming off the crudely thatched roof. Under the torrential downpour, the whole structure seemed about to collapse. The old man had been hobbling busily around like a malevolent gnome, pushing the iron pot of rancid rabbit stew from under one of the leaks, dragging Ryan's unconscious figure and his worn mattress from out of the way of another. He had moved his own bed nearer the rattling window to avoid a third steady flood.
Oh, bastard rain. Should have left the fucker out in the mud. Dying. Only though if he had lived, I could have...
The old-timer's red-rimmed eyes darted to the door. He picked up Ryan's gun. He sidled to the entrance and applied an eye to a long split in the planking.
Jesus on the cross!
He took a step back as he saw a large black panther, its coat sleek with rain. The animal's eyes gleamed a golden green in the frequent flashes of chem lightning that tore at the darkness. Making no effort to brace himself against the recoil, the old man pointed the heavy automatic at the door. The 9mm bullet tore a chunk of wood from the door, going high above the head of the predator. The animal jumped away from the cabin in an amazing four-legged, stiff-backed leap, its head turning from side to side, its tail whisking angrily.
Ow! Get the fuck away or you'll get another one through the head!
Ryan twitched at the familiar sound of the 6-hour being fired, then lay motionless again. The huge panther turned around and moved inland, not once looking back at the cabin.
That'll teach your fucking lesson!
He flourished the 6-hour in triumph. The storm dumped a ceaseless flood of water, raising the level of the river by a couple of feet. But the old man had lived there long enough to know the tributary of the mighty Sippy in all its moods, and had built his raggedy home high enough above flood level to avoid all but a freakish breaking of the banks. He sat by the window and peered out past the flap of sacking, waiting for the storm to pass. And Ryan lay still, locked into the heart of his own personal darkness. If he dreamed, he dreamed only of black pools and deep-buried caverns where no shred of moonlight ever penetrated. Occasionally, if you'd watched him very closely, you might have seen a small movement of a finger closing and opening, and a twitch of the great scar that coursed across his face. The old man had already come to realize that his guest was someone very different. Any ordinary man would have died some time ago. The dreadful bruising of his body showed the extent of a great fall. He appeared to have come through the worst part of the gorge, where the torrent raged and the fanged rocks waited.